So we're going to welcome Gary and Jason on now. They're going to talk about the Genesis Project. It looks amazing. We'll have links in the show notes. Robert will surely put them up. So I'm going to let one of our guests has been on the show before, and he has a partner with him today. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and talk about or tell us what the project is.
Well, my name is Gary. A lot of people know me as Nafka, of course, from Fate 212. And Jason is here with me, and we're working on the Genesis Project. It's a totally customizable tabletop miniature war game. Right now we're in open beta. And the idea of the game is really to is total customization of your factions, whether you're playing in a fantasy-like setting, a modern plus, or even a far future type setting. It's the same game throughout each setting. And you basically create and evolve your species or your faction from point A to point B, and you can play any time in between. Everything is customizable from your weapons to your genetic makeup. There's five domains of life that are being worked on. And the humanoid one is the one that right now is in the open beta. But just that alone covers a huge variety of different factions and races that you could play from, giants, feral races, dwarves to
yay.
I was about to say, you had to say the magic word.
And everything mixed in between. You can take a group of fae dwarves, for instance, and you can mix and match and create the race that you've wanted to play.
You were giant dwarves.
Giant dwarves.
Which are about average to everybody else.
I don't know. I don't like when people buy big Mini Coopers. Like, I think that's kind of cheating.
It is kind of cheating.
I have my Mini, and I'm happy with it. So Gary, you were on the show several months back, and we talked at the point we talked a little bit about this and teased it forward. And it was such a really cool idea. And so people have been able to watch the development I've seen on your website. Once in a while you have a post up, just kind of updating where the project is. It sounded cool at the time, you know, it's even better now, but I didn't think I really glimpsed to how big this project was. You know, like, okay, that's kind of neat where you could really bring in anything you want. And we had talked about, I think, like GURPS and some just generic role-playing stuff.
Right.
You know, just as some examples, but like, as I've been watching the post over the months, so kind of like, wow, this thing is way bigger than I thought it was going to be. It's quite an undertaking.
It's kind of a rule set to build a rule set, if you will. I mean, we've got a rule system built to design your army before you build your army. It's a whole meta kind of rules system here that I don't think has really been done before, and that's kind of exciting, I think.
Yeah, it's really. I don't think it has either, Robert. I mean, unless we have like Neil deGrasse Tyson walk in and walk us through, you know, this like new concept.
That was subtle. That was nice. That was really nice.
Like my brain can't grasp it. But okay, so let's talk about the development of how this came to be, because people now that are frequent visitors of your site, or that could go on and search and look back, have had a chance. You know, they can see the development, or they maybe watch these posts that come out. So can you talk about conception, and then we'll move it forward to where we are now, and then talk about what's going on and what's going ahead?
Well, conception goes back before I started posting on it, of course. A lot of times when you're playing your miniature games, and there's a lot of games that we all like to play, of course, but they always get changed on you. And there's always something that you wish was slightly different.
Yeah.
There's always a weapon profile that you just don't think would match the way that you envision your army to play, or the vehicles are just not what you want. Well, this is kind of the basis of the game, that you can play those races, that faction, exactly how you want to play. And when things change, it's pretty simple for you to adjust yourself so that you're not relying upon necessarily your next army release or update, for, you know, 2 years from now. You're constantly doing it, pretty much on your own, and you're in control of it. I mean, I'm a big, back in the day when it comes down to the, like old video games, like Masters of Orion type thing, Civilization, I'm a big fan of those types of computer games as well. But tabletop miniature games is kind of where, you know, I prefer to be. To me, that's where all the action is. We get to get out and, you know, you're playing somebody else, obviously.
Sorry, we have to wrap this up as I need to get back to my game of Civ 6 right now, so...
You know, I'll meet you on there afterwards.
Sorry. It just came out last week, so, you know. I only have one Civilization so far. But no, that's a really excellent segue, because I do think this... You're right. This is an untapped area where not only are you... You know, designing your own, but you're evolving your own, and that's not something I recall seeing before, and that's really, really a deep concept.
It's a big concept because there's a lot of people that see a lot of different their faction in different ways. Even within, I mean, if you have a very human type race, I mean, we all envision it being a little bit different than what your buddy's going to. And once you start adding in, you know, the fantasy or science fiction type races where you have giants and, you know, dwarves or elves and those types of various things, it becomes really a very large project. I think at the very beginning, it was not necessarily grasped about exactly what the full extent of what I was trying to do.
Oops.
Yeah, like, that's what it was. It was, oops, hey, I got to be able to do that, you know. And it was suggested several times. The first time we started in concept, early conversations with people I knew and store owners, and it was trying to keep the several suggestions were keeping it simple, keeping the choices small. But I don't think that's really what we want out of a game like this. I think we want the options to create your giant robotic, you know, race shooting, you know, machine guns at the hip, you know, that type of thing. So I think that all the options were vital for it, and expanding outwards and then trying to keep the core rule set on how you play the game simple. It's just all these other things that kind of plug into it. So
you have sort of an exceptions-based rule set where the base rules themselves are simple, but the individual armies may add the complexities and add some of the meat to the bones.
Correct.
And yep, that's really, exactly.
So what kind of armies you guys are having this open beta right now? What are some of the more diverse armies you've seen people create?
you know, that's actually been the most surprising. I've seen, because when I make races, they're pretty they're more straightforward, and I know that they probably shouldn't be, right? Because I'm working on the rules. But the rules, I generally make more simplistic ones. I might make like a god, you know, a race of giants who follow a god king and have human slaves, for instance.
Okay.
All that's easily done in the rule set. Where someone else will come in, and I know Jason and I were talking about it. What was it? It was
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Exploding Goblins is pretty much what it was,
yes.
Right?
Right, yeah, but goblin fire eaters, they would set themselves on fire and then engage in close combat. Yeah.
Wait, that's not taken from Clan War, is it?
I didn't make
I don't know race. Where. We didn't make the race. It was I had a playtest. Yeah, I had a playtest the other night, and somebody came up with goblins that set themselves on fire. So it was pretty interesting, but I didn't know where he got it from.
So there's models for that from the pseudo-Asian-themed Clan War, when they're magic mud goblins and they basically roll themselves in pitch and light themselves on fire.
Perfect.
So,
I think it gets the races. I've seen some pretty crazy ones. I mean, they go all over the place. I mean, there's ones that want to play very fast moving elf-like guys, but then of course they want dwarves in their race and in their faction as well. So they might develop their own class of warriors within their faction that are dwarves, there's been a lot of varieties. There's been a couple people who have made strictly Roman or Greek type armies as well, and tried to be very historical about it. So it's been quite the ride to see all the varieties that have been made.
So are people sticking primarily to fantasy, or is it crossing all of the various primary genres that you're looking at? You're talking about fantasy and moderns and sci-fi.
Well, we start in fantasy because that's, you know, kind of the beginning. The idea is that you can play your race literally from the beginning of its existence. You can play from an early fantasy all the way through modern times, all the way through into the future, and basically till the end of the universe. There is an end game where the universe is basically done. So, but that's a ways out still. But
the, okay, yeah.
So we start in fantasy.
You're still early from that.
Yeah, we start in fantasy. We're starting in fantasy. And people can play fantasy, and they can take their fantasy race into the future so that you are you could possibly be playing dwarves with, you know, cyborg dwarves. and then later on, they become fully robotic machine, and then you know, then moving on into the future. So it just depends upon how you evolve your race, and they can be completely different from one age to the next.
Do you see opportunity, like, do you expect, I don't say global campaigns, but where players can connect maybe online on a forums or website or something where they can have some kind of narrative and then they work together as they evolve their races? Like, instead of them just doing it like at our shop, okay, I have my army of these guys and they develop, you know, if they have some portal or website or something where they can get together and then kind of do that as a group.
And play their race or play a race altogether?
Well, I guess kind of like a forum where they can discuss their evolutions.
Almost like a role-playing thing, yeah, more so than the war game side.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, campaign play is part of Genesis, or at least part of the concept behind it. And I think that having a forum for people to get together and kind of sign up to play a campaign together and evolve their races together, that would be a fantastic kind of social experiment to both see what everyone could come up with and yet work together at the same time. It kind of brings another social layer into it, meta, you know, pre-game.
Yeah, it just seems like it'd be neat. Like, if I was doing this and I had my race of you know, dwarves that became cyborg dwarves eventually through whatever battles or, you know, maybe it is sort of a natural thing that can happen where you can share what's going on with your army with other people, and then they can come up with some kind of group and share narrative even as they go forward. This is a really cool idea. Like, so I thought of something as you were talking earlier with Kickstarter the past few years and the saturation of the market, because we talked about this recently. Did this affect in any way, or did you change your development of this as we were getting, you know, so many games through Kickstarter? Now, granted, some of them haven't come out or may never come out, but you're doing something very different. So, did you have any reactions or interactions with the Kickstarter growth of the hobby?
You know, Kickstarter is right now, you can pretty much get almost any type of model that you want on Kickstarter, and they usually do Kickstarters first, and then they launch their games later. You know, the models first, rules later, I guess, is kind of what a lot of them that I see out there. I think the concept of this from the beginning has been rules based, and evolving your species and engaging you that direction more than, say, just than concentrating on the models. I love to customize models. It's half the fun for me. Is making my models grander or different than my normal armies. So I think that the perspective of the game is just is from a different angle necessarily than from the actual miniatures themselves. But an army that you can completely customize on your own. You might buy your pikes or your spears from one person and your machine guns and your heavy weapons from somebody else to add to your army. And the same thing with your vehicles. You might like a different, and that's all acceptable and all within the rules of the game as well.
So it's kind of a modeler's dream is what you're proposing here.
It is. I mean, your army can be as customized and unique as you want it to be, not only in their appearance on the tabletop, but in the rules and how they play. And I think that that was the concept from the get-go, and I think that that's been kind of the driving force and why we're getting a lot of people signing up for the beta test and their product keys. Jason kept telling me that we're going to get, you know, a lot of people signing up, and I was like, well, we'll see.
So do you want to talk about how many you've gotten signed up, or give us a hint?
I haven't been looking at the numbers for about the past. I know the first month I was kind of looking a little bit, but it seems like as far as people signing up, there's what, 2-3 people or so a day. The unique visitors checking us out are even a lot larger than that.
Cool.
It's 50 people a month so far.
For what?
I was just saying it's been more than 50 people a month so far. So I know it's definitely the number of people that have shown an interest, and then there's the number of people who have signed up for the the product keys. I would say that the people who have registered for the product keys have exceeded 50 per month so far.
That's excellent.
I think it's a couple. I thought it was getting close to a couple hundred. I think since we opened the product keys up.
Right.
But it's been several thousand that have been at least come in and check us out. As far as, you know, you have your unique visitors that you, how many people are really interested in it? We know that the number of people that are coming to really register product keys are the people that are the most interested in taking part in the beta itself, and really want to dig in and see how it is. And you know, once you actually have a book in place, then of course you get lots of other people that come in and join in a more finished product.
So tell me a little bit more about how the game structures as far as like an average game. I know you've got in the rulebook defined kind of some sample ideas for army sizes, but tell me about what your vision is, like what your 1500 points of 40K is exactly in this game, in Genesis.
Well, I think that that would be probably about 1,000 points in there.
Okay.
I know that we test smaller games more frequently, because I know the in-house testing, we test anywhere from 250 to 500. But that's been going on for a number of years that we're almost comfortable at that point value range. We're able to get a lot done as far as testing different concepts. And
what do those battles take, ballpark? 2 hours? 3 hours?
They can get pretty fast. You know, there's not as many models as you think on the table at 500 points. So we can get them.
Yeah, ours went pretty fast.
Yeah, we can get a game done. And as long as the primary thing about getting a game in is if someone has their race done.
Mm-hmm.
And they've built their classes. And once you've done that, you're pretty well set to make your army list. But in Genesis, we don't build our army list before we come to the table. We generate the table and the mission first. That way, both players are geared towards being successful at their mission with the best list that they can put together for it, instead of going for the roundabout, you know, the overall take on all comers type list.
Right, but within the confines of their established race that they've already built. So that's kind of like they're building their own army list in the background. Not their list, but their army.
Correct.
Their army book, effectively.
So they come
exactly.
to the table. Yeah. They come to the table, they have that, if they have that done, the games can take up to about an hour and a half. Maybe a little bit longer, depending upon if there's new players or we're working on new concepts or new ideas for what's going on. But for the most part, I'd say under 2 hours has been most of the games that we've been involved in.
Okay.
It's when somebody sits down and goes, well, I definitely wanted to put this into my faction instead. So then they go backwards instead of forward, that it takes a while.
And kind of rewriting their own army book at the table.
Yes. Yes. And that's when it takes a while. When we've got a large number of people testing, you know, I know in-house, I can set up 3 tables, maybe 4 here. And you have lots of people trying to change their faction, their species out, that takes a while. So we try and get everybody to do it beforehand, but it still that can take a bit. That we're working on things that are going to speed up that process as far as getting from your army book to the table, and that involves like apps and things like that to build your race off of your base species.
Okay. So, do you envision this as just being kind of a casual game, or do you see there being angles for tournament play?
I'm working on a campaign generator for a several day event.
Okay.
So you'd be able to go and play your games in a series of events that would last a couple of days for any tournament type situation. The game so far has been amazingly, you know, balanced between someone bringing a 100-point model versus somebody bringing 5-point models, and there's still been a tremendous amount of balance in the games that we've had. I know we were talking about that earlier today when Jason was talking about some playtesters this last weekend. How the balance between the forces was pretty evident.
Yeah, I was impressed. Yeah, we had our we had a guy who was, you know, really point conservative, to be polite, and he he had his models as cheap as you could make them, and then he went up against kind of an elite army, and we all thought, you know, he's going to mop this guy. He doesn't stand a chance. And then he only ended up with 4 more models on the table once he equipped everybody with armor and weapons. And it was a very balanced game. It you wouldn't have thought that they started so differently once you got them on the table.
Interesting. I've read the rules, but I certainly haven't tried the game out yet. Is there a way for the cheapest model in the game to kill the most expensive model in the game, or how does that balance work?
There are impossible attacks where somebody who has no way to actually hit the person, because we don't have an automatic failure or an automatic success, or a 1 does not automatically fail and a 6 does not automatically hit in Genesis.
So there's no critical effects like that.
There are criticals, but the ones and sixes don't automatically hit or miss.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you can come in and you're gonna smack everybody every round. You can also come in and where their skill is so high that it's goes beyond your numbers, and there is a way to a mechanic that you can take impossible shots, which are obviously hard to take down somebody. 5-point models, a whole swarm of them going up against a 110-point model, I've seen them taken down. It's a lot of death. It's a lot of death and a lot of models going away, but it does happen. And you know, one guy's upset that all his models are dying, but you're like, well, okay, well, 20 of your models equals 1 of his.
Yeah. Some quid pro quo there.
Yes. You just got to kind of figure out the point values, the differences, and you know. So yeah, we've had people that are very big min maxers, really try and see if they can break the game.
And you have to like those folks, but you do need them to test it, because sometimes they can find and break things that make other people go, "Aw, this game sucks." And you know, it's an opportunity for you guys to say, "Okay, we can tighten that up and close that down without hurting the game, but certainly maybe making the min-maxer just, you know, go look elsewhere," I guess.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I think the min-maxers actually do quite well in this type of a game anyhow. I know several people that play in my own circles they consider themselves to be competitive, you know, tabletop miniature gamers. If there is such a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But they really like to get in there and see what numbers they can drive, and they know their percentages, and maybe they're just smarter at me than at math. and they probably are. But I like to see them, you know, try and make these expensive point models that they think can take out anybody on the table, and see what they do against people that don't. So far, it's been relatively balanced, and I haven't seen I'm seeing in the current rendition, of course, we've gone through several editions of the game and the mechanics before getting to this point. So,
So we have, I mean, being a wargaming podcast, we have people, listeners all over the world that play multiple games. So those that are listening to this right now thinking like, okay, this sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. I play, you know, maybe one or two or 55 different games. What would be a good message to them, or tell them, you know, how to get started to kind of narrow down and decide what they want to do as far as like involved in this project? So where should they start? And then how would you guide them towards, you know, getting further into the Genesis project?
Well, we have the, a site. I know that you've probably seen it. It's, I have to look it up, but it's www.thegenesisproject.com. And that's where you can actually sign up to check out the game. And you can actually sign up to get your own product key and get a free download of the rules. And that includes the humanoid primaries, which includes the humans during the first age and all of their racial variants. And that would be the first place to start. And, you know, and the next thing is use models that you already have to really start getting into the game. Come up with a concept and really start, you know, and checking out the racial build, the builder for the species. That would be the first place to go, is to first of all build your army, your species.
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, because I play this game, I play sci-fi, I play fantasy, you know, what do I want to try? Yeah, so then narrowing it down, I guess. But Isa, like you said, it's a good tip to whatever models you have. So maybe if they start planning on just using what players have as a starting mm-hmm. point, then kind of evolve from there.
Well, because we all have 30 million bits in our that are right behind us right now, right? About that many, 30 million bits
within reach. Yes, definitely.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure we all do. So I mean, you know, now you get to take those armies and you get to customize even more. So that's the fun part, right? And building your race is really pretty easy. It's pretty easy to build one. It's probably less hard to it's really hard to decide upon one. So
yeah, we've got some species and unit design sheets that are fillable PDF files that can help you on the site. That way, once you've got the rules downloaded and you're going through trying to make a decision about which species traits that you want, you've got a sheet that you can kind of mock everything up with.
And, you know, and that, go ahead.
Nope, please continue.
Basically, when you create your race, all you're doing is you're selecting a set of traits for your species, for your army. And those traits will give you your abilities, which will either adjust your stat lines, your characteristics, or give you abilities during the game. And that is basically how you create your race. And you're choosing between 4 and 8 of those traits to give you your abilities. And that gives you all of your faction's primary, all of your racial abilities. And then from there, you're going on and you're creating some different classes, like your standard troop level guys. Then you have your elites, and then you have leaders, and then you have your unique classes as well. So, and that gives you your, you know, captains or your legendary warriors or that type of thing. So it's
yeah, for those guys out there that like role playing, that like to create their own characters. There's a lot of that kind of character building customization that you get to experience on the tabletop. And that's a lot of people that I know grew up in role-playing circles, and that was the piece that they really latched on to, was the ability to turn this army into your army.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely a key draw. So we'll have the link to the website and what we said earlier. Once you start in this, right, how do these players then start talking to each other and start to, you know, throw ideas past? And I guess you're going to have to, you'll eventually have like a version of a player finder or a way for the community to interact. So right now, I'm kind of ignorant on some of like the beta, you know, how this stuff works. Robert knows much more about this than I do. But just, you know, at a game at this point where people can talk, beside from just posts that they have on the website, Is there a forum or a way for players to start talking to each other and, you know, that are really excited and to help inspire one another?
We have.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was just going to say, right at the moment, there's not a forum per se. We've got a Facebook that we're just now getting up off the ground, so that's one place. We've got an interactive map we're working on where playtesters could reach out to each other. We've kind of got to get people to sign up for that. I don't want to start posting people's contact information without their permission. So we've got a, but we do have that in the works. I've already kind of done a little beta test on that, and it looks good. So sometime in the next month or so, we'll have that map posted so that people can reach out and at least, hey, there's a guy, you know, in a city adjacent to me where, you know, I can meet up and we can do some playtesting on there.
That's great. That's great. So you have through Facebook and then through the map that you're developing.
And direct feedback as well. I mean, there's forms for direct feedback that goes directly to me, where rules and stuff get discussed. And plus we're working on getting it so people can post their races, their species directly up there for everyone else to see, and you can see what other people are building.
Yeah, that's a feature that we're working on with the Army Builder. We're trying to turn it into a mobile web app so that, one, I don't have to deal with iOS versus Android and all that. We can just, if you can get to the website, you can use it. But also, it will be permanently connected to our primary site. So when you upload a race, a species, an army, what have you, and you want to share it, you can just mark that as a shareable trait, and then everyone would be able to see that weapon that you designed or your race of, you know, rat monkey giants or whatever you've come up with.
Rat monkey giants, eh?
I like that one.
or undead. You could add undead in there if you want.
And flying, just for that extra oomph. So right now humanoids are available. What's the next race or?
We have the Fae and the Reptilia, which are currently being worked on as the next life domains.
Okay, so those are in alpha right now?
They are. In fact, they were all in alpha. All of them were in alpha. And they're all being updated and reworked. We're also working on the second age too, and that will be the next release actually for the humanoids.
Okay.
And the our current schedule for that is pretty much by the end of December second age for humanoids will be out, and so that'll bring us up to modern plus a couple hundred years as far as the game, and you know, bring all the sci-fi players that really like to love all of that type of game with the, exploding vehicles is one of my favorite things in a game. So, and so that will bring all of that into the game as well. Totally customizable, of course, as far as your designing your vehicles and putting and getting the weapons on them. And then the Fae and the Reptilia are following. So
great.
Very cool. I know most of the early testing involved very little humanoids. In fact, I think the Reptilia were actually the first in the early parts of the game was one of the first ones we did. I don't know why.
Yeah, I remember seeing those pictures.
it just was. But we're also going
to start somewhere.
We're going to be releasing we're going to be making our own books here soon, and being able to make it so that people, when they create their own races, you'll be able to create your own army book as well. So with whatever you create, you'll be able to actually, you know, input that, and you'll be able to get an army book sent back to you. So there's a lot of cool things that we've been working on. I know that Jason can expand upon that more, since that's kind of his area. But to me, that's a lot of fun. It also helps people settle on their race instead of changing them at the table.
Well, yeah, once you've invested a little money in it, it kind of makes you commit to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this $2,000 worth of Eldar, I kind of want to go with Space Marines. I think I'm stuck with Eldar. But yeah, the idea is to take that army builder and let it be the interface for sharing social media and for, you know, loading them into some kind of an army book template where you can go in and actually order, you know, push to printer and order your army book. So, you know, your undead flying monkey rats. I forget if we added fire breathing or not to that one, but you know, your species. I don't know, but your species book. You order it, you get it in print. There it is, and you know that's the goal is to carry this total tabletop customization tagline all the way, but also to expand it to every part of the game. So you know your codex is actually your codex. It's not just an Eldar or a Space Marine. Now all of a sudden you're, you know, the undead flying. Fire breathing monkey. You know, I'll just stop.
At some point, we're just getting out of hand.
There is a point. Yes, there is. And of course, there's only so many abilities and traits, but you know, really, the number of them is quite large.
Excellent. So tomorrow, I can make my dwarves riding bears army, and I can play against Kenny's. Dwarves who don't have any bears because they're not as cool as mine army. And then we start this campaign and we play this campaign and eventually the two of us are going to enter Dwarf War 2 where we're using SMGs and there's going to be some strafing runs and that sort of stuff. But I'm still going to have bears because, damn it, dwarves on bears is awesome.
Don't want the bears to be mechanical? They'll be robotic bears.
Oh, so good.
So
yeah.
Yes, and then eventually you'll be throwing gravity bombs, you know, hooking them over your shoulder and wiping out half the table, right?
I sure hope so. Now, for a moment of seriousness, and only a moment, do you guys foresee that there are holes in miniature lines that you think you would like to fulfill, or do you think you're going to stay purely on the rules, campaigns, army book helpers side of the game?
You know, it's interesting on that, but we've started a little bit of that. We've got a fantastic contributing artist, and I don't know if you've been on the site or not and seen some of his model work that's there. His 3D renderings are fantastic.
What's the name of the artist?
Gia Howe.
Yes, they're really good.
And he's a contributing artist for us for 3D sculpts and. I eventually see down the road that direction, along with and more for models, anyhow. So I mean, I see us eventually going into that realm, but we're working from the grassroots up, is what we're doing.
Okay.
And our insight is everything that we've been talking about: the self-publishing our army, you know, your own army books. Getting our rules in a hardback form, having the other life domains all out. Each book is set to be your life domain plus the core rules in the back of it. So it'll be one book with all that there. So you would only need your life domain book, your app if you want, you know, run the app and go through the army builder like that, and then the race that you create. So that's kind of how we see the whole game. As what somebody needs to bring with them, you know, obviously besides their models.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we've got a time frame, loose time frame. I'm not going to give you dates, of course, because I'll never make them. But we are looking at you'll be seeing things in hopefully in book format here within the next several months. So it's moving along at a much faster pace than I would have anticipated even 6 months ago.
That's great.
He's working me hard.
Yeah, that's primarily due to the amount of feedback that we've been getting. There's a lot. There's been several people that have just jumped on, and I don't know how many races they've made now, but it's been a lot. And they've got questions, ideas, some great feedback, and. I think overall, because of all of that interaction that we have going, I think the game is is going to be exponentially better upon release.
Yeah, constant refinement through quality feedback. That's really the goal.
So we talked about other, Fae and Reptilian and Giant yes. Stomping Robots. If you dare to wish list, I guess, are there other options that might be open? Like if there was, is there something that could happen at an Adepticon? Or is there like a second edition or a
Harry's got the first edition out yet, and you're jumping the gun.
All kind of well, we're always thinking ahead of things we'd like to do eventually, and models.
Kenny, you're fired.
No. If I could only find a cannon that fit him.
Right, good luck.
He's so wiry.
You don't have to commit, but it's always...
I think that the edition that we're working on is going to be very expansive, and I think that anything further down the road with the amount of playtesting and feedback that we're getting is going to be more just possibly refinements.
Do you see this as kind of a living rule book sort of idea, more so than additions per se?
It may be end up being more. Right now, it's a very living thing. In fact, it's living, breathing, and breathing fire.
And we have to put it down.
And humanoid. It's humanoid.
And it will. We've already got listed down ideas to expand the game, without necessarily going back and changing the core rules or the core life domain books. So the idea would be to expand beyond that, and that your like maybe your racial variants, we go further into all the variants for all the domains and expand that way instead of immediately going to a second edition, of course. So that's the direction I think that the game would go.
Okay. Awesome.
I mean, there's nothing worse than getting a new edition, right? And all your rules are changed.
That's all the cool stuff I used to be able to do, I can't do anymore. Hooray! I love this game.
Not the purpose of the game. The purpose of the game is so that you don't have to worry about that.
And frankly, you're not selling models, so you have no compelling reason to either nerf or boost armies given their sales quotients or whatever else. I mean, that's kind of one of the curses of some of these companies that we love them, but we sometimes have to question if things have been hit with the nerf bat because they're not selling well or selling too well, or I guess selling too well is kind of a misnomer. But based upon tournament results, the whole world can change. The pendulum can smack you in the face. You probably aren't going to see that, at least I assume, from the kind of iterative design that you've got going on here, which is great, and I think that's really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of it, because I don't think yet you can support my demon drop bear, fire-breathing, help me out here.
We can.
Monkey-flinging. There we go. Launchers. Monkey yeah. flingers, that's right. Boom. Stop me now.
Once flingers came out, you crossed the line.
I release my deadly robotic parakeets at you. You just wait.
The parakeets. The parakeets would be fun. The idea is that the game will expand out. And the idea, and I just, it's going from one edition to the other is always been one of the biggest scares that everybody has with that are playing a game and are dedicated to it. And that's also one of the biggest frustrations, too, is when, hey, my whole army that I have modeled and I love to death, now I have to completely change it or go out and buy the equivalent of a whole other army within the same...
Sounds like one of the beauties of your game, of what you're talking about, is that won't be a concern.
It's not a concern.
Just thrown out the window, so that's nice. There's security there.
And so It just allows for that. It allows for that freedom. It does to do what you want to do with it. Go as crazy as you want. Put as much time as you want into your race and make it something unique.
Awesome. So our listeners that have now had their ears perked up and they're thinking about all the different kind of wonderful abominations that they could put together. What should be their next steps?
Once they've signed up to the site, they've got there and they've been making races. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Jason, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good firm.
Yeah. Once you've made your race, the next thing you want to do is get it on the table. and try it, because without really know, without playing through the game once or twice, obviously, then you'll kind of have an idea more of is this playing out the way I wanted it to? And the beauty of the game is you can test it and see if it is what you wanted to play. See if it fits into your games the way you play, like to play on the table. If you like to sit back and shoot, well, you've got lots of options, and you can even customize your own weapons. So I think the more someone gets into the game, the more variety that they look in, they want to put into their species and into their race. And sometimes you'll find yourself very monochromatic.
Do you anticipate a lot of videos? I can kind of see people doing a lot of video battle reports for this.
I would hope, you know, that's the aim is as much community interaction as always possible, of course. But yeah, I would love to see people's unique models for it. And I haven't seen anybody start their army yet modeling. The open beta has been going now for about two months. Yeah, about 2 months. So it's. I think we're a little bit from that. A lot of the people are still very flexible in what they're fielding and testing, and it's been that way for a long, you know, for the last year. And people that have been testing the armies that have been made off of, you know, the pre-beta rules were nobody was ever set yet on what they wanted to be, on what they wanted to make. Half the fun for them, I guess, was making it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think printable, printed rule set, you know, something you can hold in your hand might give you the confidence to go ahead and start modeling at that point. I mean, of course, there's going to be, you know, trial and error to get what you want, to understand the rules. But, you know, it's still kind of an abstract concept at this point. But I think once we can get the rules in your hand, you can sit down and know this is how the rules are. This is how it's going to be. And, you know, that might convince a few people to move forward with the process.
Yeah, so definitely once you make your race, you get yourself onto the table and go from there, because things are going to change, and get ready for the second age too, because that's coming up.
Awesome.
Cool.
Sounds good. I think that Kenny and I have to build armies and for our annual Christmas game try some stuff out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only time I'll play him. The rest of the year, I don't see him. So,
well, when you do make armies, share them with us. We like to see what people are making. We like to see what they're doing. Some of the things that we look for, as far as feedback goes, is there must-have traits? You know, is there something that people are taking every single time, and why? And we want to make sure that all the armies out there are diverse. You have this giant grand machine of things that you can choose from. We want to see that diversity, and so far we have, and that part's been good, but that's something that we watch for.
Sweet. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. I'm sure Kenny's will be dwarves. Mine will have to wait and see. I have a pretty wide collection to choose from, so.
I'll throw a bunch of ideas down on paper, but you know, dwarf would be one of them, but
definitely.
I have lots of other ideas. Reaching back into my D&D days, you mentioned role-playing, and I'm thinking back to all the stuff I used to get into. I don't know. We'll
vampire
see.
Dwarves.
Well, now it's interesting that we don't have like vampires or liches, that type of thing, in the game yet. Because what's something like what that does is if you really delve into your arcane traits, and as you advance your campaign, your race forward, you can actually collect artifacts from your missions and different advances, and you can advance that way to the point where you leave the humanoid book. And you go to the Fae book where you become immortal, and you reach that stage. So there is some cross book jumps that you can and will be able to do.
Very interesting.
So if I did like an army of goth kids, then I think it'd advance into Fae and become immortal after puberty. Okay, I got this.
you got it. But that is the cool. There is cross book movement.
That's really neat.
You're not as locked in. And then by the same token, that also stops the humanoids from having those kinds of powers, in essence, where the Fae can really break reality and manipulate it. And one of the parts is becoming immortal. So it's there's a lot to it, and people will be able to do all that soon, very soon.
That's awesome. All right, so folks, go check out the website and get started. All right, well, thanks for coming back on the show, and we'll have to check back in after this is up. And
yeah, I definitely want to talk more to you guys as things progress and as we have had the opportunity to dive into this ourselves and try things out and kick the tires, so to speak. So can we have you back on maybe a couple of months?
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be great.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I can even send you, you know, once we get the core rule books, we're going to be hopefully self-printing some books here shortly. It's always good to have something in hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we'll be able to get some of those out, you know, get some of those out the door. So hopefully to send you guys one type of thing.
Cool. Awesome. Looking forward to that.
And yeah. And that way, more feedback. I mean, if you have suggestions and or you say, hey, this was broken. I just smashed Kenny all over the place.
Well, then it's perfect. Wait.
Robert, certainly.
Don't fix it. It ain't broke. It's perfect.
Yeah, Robert has opinions. All right.
But yeah, no, I think that we're on the. We've had a lot of great feedback. A lot of people are very excited.
Cool.
There's several people sending feedback multiple times a week, which I don't know how they spend as much time as they do, but I feel sometimes like they know the rules better than I do.
So. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in a few months then.